We are joined by Margaret Gray. Margaret is a syndicated columnist. She writes a column for 150 newspapers across the country. And I wanted to get your feelings. Margaret, first of all, good evening and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phil.
I wanted to get your feelings on Christiane Amanpour being described in the press, being described by the New York Post and by Rupert Murdoch as CNN's war slut.
You know, Phil, I heard that. They're really making a big thing out of that.
No, but that's what she was called. She was called the CNN war slut. And obviously people were upset. And what do they mean by that?
Phil, I think they're making a really big thing out of that. First of all, they called Arthur Kent the stud back in the Gulf War, and nobody thought that that was bad. I don't think Christiane should be offended at all, and I know that she isn't. I think what is going on with Christiane Amanpour is the same thing that went on with myself or any other woman. And let me underline the word woman, because most of the wartime journalists are men. It is a lonely, lonely road that we as women walk as wartime journalists. There have been a few. There are not a lot of them. Myself, Christiane, I don't know. There have been a few. I don't know who they are. But it is a lonely road that we trod, Phil, rife with every kind of pitfall and criticism. I wrote a letter, as a matter of fact, to Christiane, because I can well imagine how lonely it is for her to be there. When you're a woman covering a war, first of all, there is a boyfriend or a husband somewhere that doesn't get it, doesn't understand, wants you home more, wants you to cut out all of this globetrotting, return home and have some babies. These are threatened men, weak men, but nonetheless the men that we are best suited for, because with any man that actually gave us back lip, or a man that tried to push himself on me, I'd be very uncomfortable, and he would be out of my life before you can say Daisy Cutter. So I wrote a letter to Christiane, and it goes like this. Dear Christiane, I write this letter to you from the Fortress of Freedom, America. I know what you are going through as the only female journalist since I was in Grenada to have the sheer guts to report from the front lines of a fight fraught with peril. May God bless you. Although I know that your people are Muslims, I bear no malice. I see you instead as a fellow journalist, a fellow female journalist, one who actually has the guts to report from the front lines, unlike all of the reporters currently working for Fox News and Rupert Murdoch. Sincerely, yours, and best regards, Margaret Gray, Kiesling Syndication Service. I sent that letter today, Phil, overnight, Federal Express, to Kandahar. And I know that Christina will appreciate that.
By the way, her name is Christiane or Christina?
I call her Christina. It's Christiane, but I know she prefers that. Phil,
Can I get into your wartime experience? You say that you reported...
Oh, yes, yeah. You didn't hear about it?
No. Well, no, I mean, who were you working for at the time?
I was working for one of the New York dailies at the time. I was working for the Daily News. And I was in Grenada when all hell broke loose. Let me tell you something, Phil. Frank and I were there. We were at the Four Seasons in Elizabethtown, Grenada. Suddenly, the next thing you know, we've got Marines in our lap by dayfall. Marines and Special Forces units have parachuted into Grenada. Now, I'm a journalist. And I don't care what's happening, I go for the story. At the time, Frank and I were having some breakfast, and they had given us the New York Times printout, and I think I was having a sorbet, something light. And I wanted to start the day with a Bloody Mary. Next thing I know, we've got Marines in our lap. I went over to one of the stations, the valet station. I knew they had a car, and I knew where I belonged, at the front lines. And I said, I'm an American journalist. I need to be taken to the front lines. And let me tell you something. Those Hop Sings over there, they got right to it. And Phil,
you know, you're talking about Hop Sing. These are the Grenadian people.
They owe us big time. Let me tell you, the Cubans were all over that island like maggots on a pile of cat stuff, and we immediately fumigated the little island of Grenada. I was there vacationing, but the living hell that I went through as a female journalist on Grenada.
Such as what?
Let me tell you, we couldn't get a drink in the bar for 6 hours because apparently there was a rum freighter that wasn't allowed to land because the Marines were using the beaches. For 6 hours, no drinks. They didn't honor Visa. They didn't honor Discover. All the credit card machines were down. I had a 1 o'clock facial appointment. I walk in there and I say, I'm here for my facial. Oh, we're sorry, with the broken English that you know those people use. Oh, we're sorry, Ms. Gray. No can do. Marine Corps here. And I'm going, good sweet Christ, is the world coming apart?
We're talking with Margaret Gray about, now this was your experience on Grenada as a journalist.
As a journalist and as a woman and as an American, it was hell.
And we're comparing your experience with Christian Amanpour, who is the wartime journalist for CNN in Afghanistan. She, of course, is facing bullets. And you had your credit card? It was...
No. I think... Phil, have you ever been to war?
No, I've as yet not had the honor.
All right, let me explain it to you. When war breaks out, and someone's in your face saying, the bar is closed, and someone's in your face saying, we don't have any taxi service to the jewelry mart this afternoon because the streets are closed, do you know the fear, the stark, crawling, raving fear that begins to course through your veins like so many bats out of a belfry, like bats streaking from the bowels of hell? No, I don't think you would know that, would you, Phil? Because
look at Margaret, I understand you have been to, you were in Grenada.
No, you don't know war.
No, I don't know war. You were in Grenada when they invaded. I don't know anything about it. I'm just asking you. You say your credit card was cut off. You were not allowed to get in the shuttle van to the jewelry mart, and you were not. And I'm just asking: is that comparable to?
Yes.
That's comparable to what Christiane Amanpour is going through?
Absolutely. Christiane is going through her set of hell. I went through my little jam session with hell, and let me tell you. When they said to me, "I'm sorry, we're not taking Discover. I'm sorry, we can't honor your limit on your visa," I looked at Frank and I said, I can only hope that our children are safe, and I made a pact with him then that if we didn't get off the island alive, that he would have me cremated.
If both of you didn't get off the island alive?
He would have me cremated, yes. Phil, I have carried the weight of that war deep within my bosom for lo these 18 years. Grenada was a living, screaming, bloodletting hell, and I lived it, just as Christiane is living the scorching hell of Afghanistan.
Are you all right?
I'm sorry, I dropped the phone. I just got weak. I need to lay down.
Margaret Gray is with us, and we're talking about her experience on Grenada as a female wartime journalist. You were one of the first? Were you one of the first female wartime journalists?
As far as I know, yes.
And you've been weakened by your memories of that, huh?
I was the first war slut.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I've never been to war. And I can only imagine what it's like to be a journalist. A soldier is one thing, to be a journalist, of course, and a female journalist. And Margaret was one in Grenada. Christiane Amanpour is another in Afghanistan. And she's just talking to us about how horrible it was having her her Discover card disallowed in the hotel bar. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I am here with Margaret Gray. She is a veteran of a wartime correspondent from, I believe it was Grenada. And you're talking about Christiane Amanpour has been described as the CNN slut.
And I don't think there's anything wrong. Those of us who are wartime correspondents, first of all, as women wartime correspondents, it was unique. But those of us who are up on the front lines with the troops, we take that kind of thing as a compliment.
Now, you were right up there with the shooting?
No wartime correspondent is up there with the shooting. We were evacuated before the shooting actually started, but that's as close as any wartime correspondent ever got. And I got closer than any man, because most of the men that I knew who were covering the war in Grenada, you know, I'm sorry to have to say this, Phil, but most of them were literally crapping in their pants frightened. And that includes Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw.
You're saying all of them were gutless.
All of them gutless wonders. And I had the guts to stand my ground.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Frank, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, my comments are to Margaret. I think she comes off as a little snooty pampered girl. How does she compare?
Oh, I'm pampered.
I was in Grenada, and they evacuated her before they even fired a shot to this Muslim lady in Afghanistan, in a country where they hate women, and she's at the front line while they're dropping bombs and doing shootings. You can't put yourself on that same level with her.
I was treated like garbage in Grenada.
They wouldn't serve you a drink. I'm sorry about that.
When you spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000 for a weekend in Grenada, and they don't even give you... First of all, I had ordered a daiquiri.
Your vacation was spoiled. I took a cruise and I couldn't get off at the Cayman Islands because there was a hurricane. Should I compare myself to the poor lady at the front line?
I was reporting on a war, sir. Your vacation cruise has nothing to do...
There was no war.
Did you hear about Grenada and the Marine Corps that went in there?
And I heard about your evacuation before a shot was fired.
Well, what do you think is happening?
Where are you coming from?
Christiane Amanpour is nowhere near the front lines.
Well, wait a minute. She's standing there, and we're seeing bombs going off and stuff.
No, she's way far
away. There are shots being fired. There are
bombs. Let me ask a question here.
15,000 bombs with no aiming, you know?
And what do you think Grenada was like, a block party? That was the living hell.
I don't know. You'd have to tell me because you probably saw it on the news when you got home.
I was there, and the smell of the rotting food that wasn't served.
They evacuated you before a shot was fired.
They evacuated. We were on a ship leaving, and I saw smoke coming up.
On TV? What channel was that on?
Excuse me, I was standing on the deck of the ship. I was smelling the stench of rotting food that they were not able to sell because...
Well, they got to clean the galley a little bit more often. That's not a comparison.
Really?
Let me ask a question here. I want to ask a question. Hold on. Edward R. Murrow, who is the esteemed CBS News bureau chief, they're the head of CBS News in the 50s, he was in London during World War II during the Blitz.
He was an absolute pussy.
And Edward R. Murrow was a pussy.
Oh, God.
He was an absolute chicken.
Dare even utter his name in the same sentence? This guy's at the front lines during World War II. There's
Edward R. Murrow, there was the London Blitz.
Bombing London.
Edward R. Murrow was a frightened little boy compared to what I had to go through. So in other words, Frank, what you're telling me is when someone walks up to you and says, "I'm sorry, we're not taking your Visa card," you like that.
God, this is just like being at the front lines. They're not taking my Visa card. I can't get a facial.
Have you been to war?
No, but my son is
right,
there.
What do you know? Your son was where?
I don't have to be at war, because you know my experience is equal to yours. I read it on the newspaper.
Wait a second. What war was your son
TV.
At? What war was your son at?
My son is already signed up. He's going to win the Afghanistan.
Well, he's not in any war. He's sitting on a ship playing cards and eating steak and eggs. Is that it? I was there when the lobster bisque that the chef had prepared special for us rotted in that pot because there was
this is
no
a joke,
one.
Right?
Are you joking? We want to know, Margaret. Are you joking with us?
Joking with you about what?
You're pulling
about
a leg.
Death? Do you know the Marines that died on Grenada?
I know there were some Marines that died on Grenada. What are you joking about?
I'm not joking about anything. I'm talking about the living, breathing, gut-wrenching, and puke-inducing hell that
Because the Laster Bisque spoiled?
Oh, so that's not... So, in other words, that's a good thing.
We're not saying that's good.
Lobster... That's not a war comparison.
What isn't? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Your Laster Bisque spoiling is nothing to be compared to in a war. Please.
Margaret, Lobster Bisque spoiling may be bad.
Thank you for finally having the common decency to admit the truth.
No, but this is a joke, guys.
This has got to be a gag, right?
No. You know, the only joke is the fact that you men can't stand the fact that a woman
it's a
was
man
on the front.
Thing.
Yes, you men can't
stand
the fact
that I was the poor lady in Afghanistan
woman,
as
a front
line. I was
a female on the front lines reporting as a journalist. And
you, the rotting smell of tomato, of lobster bisque, and you not getting a drink at the bar is what you call the hell of war. And
for the two of you not having been in war, I don't know what you're talking about.
And the three of us, that makes three of us. You haven't been
either. Get me a veteran. Get me a man who's lived through what I've lived through. Do you know something? On the first day we were there, the elevators were broken in the hotel. I'm walking up five flights of stairs with a sick husband. I had to sleep in the same sheets two nights in a row. And what's that? Are you making fun again?
That's horrible.
So you're making...
That's horrible.
Oh, now I finally get what's going
on. How do you make this a male-female thing?
You know something? This is...
Because you men are ganging up...
No. No, hold on. Hold on for a minute. You're full of crap because you're saying, first of all, that the lobster bisque was spoiled. You had to sleep in the same sheets two nights in a row, and they didn't honor your visa or your Discover card, and you couldn't get a drink at the bar for 6 hours, and they canceled the shuttle to the jewelry mart, and that
the pay-per-view skin flicks were first of all softcore. I am so offended by that.
No. I want to hear this. The pay-per-view skin flicks were what?
They were heavily edited, Phil, but you know what? I know what you're doing now. You're turning this around, and you're trying to make me look stupid.
The pay-per-view skin flicks were heavily edited.
Yes.
So it wasn't graphic.
Yes.
And this is the hell of war that you lived through. The living hell of war that you lived through.
I said it before, and I'll say it...
No, you're not getting away with it that easy. Are you saying to me that the hell of the Grenada War for you was the lobster bisque rotting before they could get it to your table, and the fact that the Jewelry Mart shuttle was canceled?
I said it before, and I'll...
Okay, she doesn't want to answer my question.
No, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You men ganged up on me because I was the one female journalist in Grenada... And the one female journalist before Christiane Amanpour came on the scene who experienced the living hell of war.
If you experienced the living hell of war, I want to know which war.
And I have said over and over, it was the invasion of Grenada.
Where the lobster bisque rotted.
And I slept in the same sheets, but it doesn't make...
And, oh yeah, I forgot about that. You slept in the same sheets two nights in a row.
I think what you're doing, Phil, is very un-American. I came on your program to praise Christiane Amanpour, which, by the way, that is her name, Christiane Amanpour. You people have mispronounced it.
You people, huh? Dumbasses like me in talk radio, huh?
Yes. You men who haven't experienced combat, but deign to tell a woman what combat is like. I, who have lived through it. I, who...
Had her visa card canceled. You know, and it ain't Christiane Amanpour. It's Christiane Amanpour, and she's in Afghanistan, and she's reporting for CNN, and you didn't live through any hell because your lobster bisque went bad.
So sitting on a toilet with nothing but poo soup pouring out of your ass because of bad fish, that's not hell?
That may be bad diarrhea, but that is not war.
Tell that to the guys who lived in the trenches in World War I.
Okay, well, maybe they had to put up with diarrhea and war, but you only had to put up with diarrhea, not war. Get a load of that. Well, you know, I can't name, other than Christiane Amanpour, I can't name female wartime journalists, although I'm sure there were many. But she ain't one, Margaret Gray. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry here with Margaret Gray, who was in Grenada during the invasion of Grenada. You call yourself a wartime journalist, even though you you say the worst thing you went through was that your lobster bisque went bad.
Phil, I don't know what you're talking about. You've never been to war.
Well, I mean, Christiane Amanpour, she's a wartime journalist standing there in Afghanistan.
Christiane and I stand alone as the only female wartime journalist. Connie Chung, Barbara Walters, Diane Sawyer, Sally Jesse Ruff, the day they get any sand in their pumps, it'll be a cold living day in hell. The nuns will go ice skating with the devil. The day that Sally Jesse Bark or Connie Ching Chong Dao Dao, you know, all of that.
Boy, are you racist.
Well, you know something? I've lived through hell. I bought my ticket to be a little free with my speech. I paid for my freedom of speech with my blood.
And with your canceled Visa card.
It wasn't canceled.
They didn't honor the limit or whatever the hell it is. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Charles here on the Phil Henry Show. Charles?
Yes.
Go ahead. And I understand you're a Korean War veteran.
Yes, I am.
And you know what I'm talking about, Charles.
I don't know.
No, you do know what I'm talking about.
Well, I do know what you're talking about, and you don't know what you're talking about. War isn't getting a facial. War isn't getting a drink in the middle of the daytime. War is watching your buddy next door right beside you get his guts blown
out. That's right. I saw my husband, Frank.
And you never saw that.
I saw my husband, Frank, get sick from the salad that they had served him.
Oh, my God.
What?
You call that the same as this man seeing his buddy get a, your husband, Frank, getting a... What happened?
Oh, so wait a second. I thought, Charles, you're a veteran. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Marine Corps.
Well, then what are you... why are you disagreeing with me?
Because I didn't get sick with a salad. I got my butt shot off, and I saw my buddies get their butt shot off
over there.
Let
me ask you a question, Charles. Do you think that Connie, me love you, long time Chung, is some kind of a wartime correspondent? No.
I don't think any of you are. What? The only wartime correspondent I ever heard of that was on the front lines, and I mean really front lines, was Ernie Pyle. Now, he's
who?
The only one.
Ernie who?
Ernie Pyle.
I've heard of Ernie Pyle. Didn't he take the pictures and stuff? Or?
Yes, he did. And not only that, he was killed in action.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And I almost... you know something, Charles?
You got killed because you couldn't have a lobster this day.
You know something? I know who Ernie Pyle... was that Gomer's brother?
Is this lady...
hey, are you...
is what, she sane?
Are you nuts?
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean Ernie Pyle was that Gomer's brother?
I think I'm asking an intelligent question.
Gomer Pyle didn't exist.
How do you say that?
Because that was a TV show. That's how I say that.
Well, I wasn't aware that it was not true. I thought
Jim Neighbors played Gomer Pyle.
Well, I thought it was a real depiction of a real man.
And that Gomer Pyle was Ernie Pyle's brother.
You know something? You men can laugh, but I'm used to having men laugh at me. I'm a woman, and I was a woman in combat. And
where were you in combat?
I just got done saying the invasion of Grenada.
Did you ever see anybody get shot?
Did you see anybody get their legs blown off
with a grenade?
Something? I saw my husband hanging over a toilet after...
I have to ask the host,
why is this man being allowed to laugh at me?
I got to know. What was your husband hanging over the toilet from?
I told you he had a bad salad.
And you think that's the same as a man losing both legs from a landmine or from a hand grenade?
I didn't say it was the same thing, Phil. I said it's a casualty of the Grenadian conflict that all of the produce was 3 days old. They couldn't get any fresh hickam. And they...
Hey, Charles, in Korea, were you guys able to get fresh hickam or did you have to wait a day or two for it?
We ate K rations. And they were so old, the lucky stripes were still green.
It might have been too much vodka, too. I don't remember.
Hey, did you ever get sick over in Korea, Charles, from too much vodka?
Are you having a good time, boys? Are you having a good time laughing at a woman who lived through the hell? Try finding the last clean tampon in Grenada and then tell me whether or not it's hell.
I got to hang up.
She just hung up on us. She just hung up on us. Can you believe that?
Have you ever heard of her before?
Oh, yeah. She's a journalist. She writes a column for a daily newspaper.
Her last big shot is,
try finding the last clean tampon in Grenada. Oh, wait a minute. She called back. What can we do for you, Margaret?
Oh, by the way, you can both go to hell.
She just hung up again. I mean, so where were you in Korea? You were with the Army? Marine Corps? Marine Corps, okay. Oh, well, you guys, I mean, what was that, Chosun Reservoir?
Yeah.
That was a hell of a deal, wasn't it?
Yep.
Well, I'm very happy that... Hold on for a minute. Now what do you want?
You can both burn in hell and...
Yeah, I got it already. Okay, Charles, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
We'll see you later. Try finding the last clean tampon in Grenada. That's hell. That's war. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. This on CNN, they just showed a video from that Al Jazeera TV network, the network that airs all the whatever crud somebody wants to send them. They put it on the air. And they just showed a video of little boys. I mean, there can't be more than six or seven with guns. And the Taliban is now recruiting these guys. And when I say recruiting, I mean, well, do you want to join the army? No, it's more like, here's a gun. Now you are in. You know, you have no choice, kid. But the little kids. See, I don't know. Maybe these guys are the smartest guys in the world, these Taliban guys. But when you begin, when an army begins to, what is the word for draft? I am so, like, completely just, no. Not recruit, not draft. What's the word? Induct. When you when an army begins to, well, not even induct, but when an army begins to draft or induct or, you know, mobilize children, that's a dead giveaway that they're losing manpower. I mean, that's when we knew that the Germans were just about done, when they had like 15-year-olds. 15-year-olds and 50- and 60-year-old men. I mean, that's the saddest thing. That's just about as sad as it gets. So I don't know if that's true or not, what that video is. It purports to show the Taliban talking with and kind of giving a pep talk to little, like, five-year-old kids? Dude, not even the Nazis sunk that low. And these guys, I always thought these guys were pretty much like the Nazis without a lot of money. These are Nazis without a whole lot of spending cash, these guys. But these kids, they're like five. Don't you think at that point, if you're a civilized society, you say, we give up? Don't you just put your hands up in the air and walk out of the cave? I mean, before you put a gun into a five-year-old kid's hand? Now, come on. You know what? I think that's going to backfire. I swear to God. I think that video that I just saw, if what I'm seeing is what I think I saw, that's got to backfire with any right-thinking person. I don't care where they live. I mean, even in Pakistan, even with that band of knuckleheads, even with that bunch of real brain surgeons they got in Egypt, they see that and they got to say, okay, this is wrong, dude. Give up, man. Just give up. Just stick your hands in the air. Walk out of the cave. We may shoot you. We may not. But, you know, beats the hell out of putting a gun into like a kid's hand, isn't it? I don't care how depraved they are in the Middle East. All those people that pump their fist in the air and run through the streets talking about how crappy America is. I don't care how messed up you are. You gotta throw the flag on that. When you start seeing that, when they let that videotape go and that gets on all the TV sets all through the Middle East, in all those really scenic spots like Syria and Egypt and Pakistan, all those really superior countries, and when they see that, don't you think there's got to be one or two or maybe three decent human beings who will look at that and say, no, this is wrong. You guys are going to have to surrender. You're going to have to suck it up and just surrender. You know, live to fight another day, or however that thing goes. But see, that's just me. I don't know. I mean, I got no idea. Geraldo Rivera says he's quitting his primetime talk show on CNBC. You know, Janice, I actually saw his announcement on TV. He was talking about how he could no longer stomach being on CNBC. And, of course, a lot of us were asking, how did CNBC stomach having you there? No, I'm kidding, Geraldo. He's a nice man. He's very good. He wants to become a war correspondent for Fox News Channel. He wants to join up with Margaret Gray there and see if he can just stand the stench of the rotting lobster bisque as it's poured into the garbage disposal because there weren't enough customers last night. He claims that he can't bear to stay on the sidelines. He heads to Afghanistan on November the 17th. Geraldo will be reporting from a cave. Now, this is the same guy who found Dick in Al Capone's vault, so let's just keep that in mind. This is a cat who's going to go over there, and I believe what he said was he wants to be standing there when they bring Bin Laden's head out of the cave. Well, who wouldn't want to be there when they bring Bin Laden's head out of the cave? But this is the guy that when he opened up Al Capone's vault, he didn't find Jack squatting there. The hell you think you're going to find in a cave? Anyway, also, this is the same man who looked like an idiot when he did the undercover drug sting. And finally, he's the same guy who claimed he boffed every starlet in Hollywood. Can he be trusted? Frankly, I believe him. I think he did, and I don't care what you say, Janice. This guy's credibility is not to be questioned. He had sex with every major film star in Hollywood between 1980 and 1993. That includes Barbara Streisand, Meg Ryan. Never mind. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Victor. Victor, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Just curious, you mentioned you were lumping a bunch of Middle Eastern countries just now, and you said something about the brain surgeons in Egypt.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
I mean that country can't be trusted any more than we can trust any other country over there.
Oh, I see. But, you know, I think you...
Like Iraq?
I think they're all
enemy states. I think Egypt, Iraq,
well,
they're all the same.
Wait a minute.
And I think we should have a nuclear weapon earmarked for Cairo. That's what I meant.
Okay, now here's the thing. You know, they are no more not to be trusted than our local talented, whoever they are, that are spreading around the anthrax. The point I want to make is that there are...
Maybe those guys are named Mohammed, too.
Wait just a minute. We don't know that for a fact.
No, we don't.
But you know something?
Right. Maybe we ought to present all the proof before we...
No. We don't. But you see, if you don't talk in a rational way, it becomes
I'm
more
speaking
of a
very rational. No, I'm totally
if
know exactly what I'm saying.
Any time for
I totally know what I'm saying.
When people said...
Terrorists go boom.
That means an Islamic terrorist. That means an Arabic terrorist.
Right.
You know, there are terrorists.
I'm completely
in America,
cognizant of what I'm saying, Victor. I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that Egypt ought to be earmarked for a nuclear desolation just as soon as we get cleaned up with the rest of those backstabbing countries down in the Middle East that care not for this country at all. You know, when the Twin Towers went down, you had cab drivers in Cairo honking their horns and pumping their fists in the air. Who told me that? I saw the pictures of it.
You saw a picture of it?
Yeah, and that was also reported. That was also reported in the Egyptian newspapers. The Egyptian newspapers themselves reported that.
And you read the Egyptian newspapers?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Yeah, all right. Well, the point I want to make is you can say anything you want. It's your show, and you're a fast talker. But the truth is there is...
Well, I'm saying what a lot of people are thinking.
There's good and bad in every country, including ours. And
when you say ours, do you mean America or Egypt? Which is ours, America or Egypt?
Ours is America.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, it's a minority here, but all the same, we have pockets of them, and we do need to clean up inside and out. But at the same time, it helps a lot more, especially.
Hey, which talk show do you call in Cairo to vent your opinions?
I
didn't think so, right?
I don't live in Cairo, but...
What talk show do you call in Baghdad so you can get your opinions on the air? Is that Jimmy Boff there on Cairo 95?
You see, you're just trying to be cute.
No, I'm asking a serious question only
now,
in America because in Egypt and in Iraq,
tent.
There's no way you can get these opinions expressed in Egypt. There's no way.
Because Egypt is being run basically as a dictatorship.
Oh, I
see. It's a fact.
Yeah, okay. Well, like every other country over there. So what's the news flash on that?
Well, the point is this. If we and the average American is trying to understand what's going on, your kind of talk only clouds the picture, does not help.
I respectfully submit, Victor.
I respectfully submit to you that I am speaking for a lot more Americans today than I might have spoken for a year ago.
I think a lot more Americans today are tired of hearing about how there are reasons for your problems in the Middle East. You know what your problem in the Middle East is? You guys have no respect for anything.
You got no respect for anything.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's all our fault, right? America did it.
It's not your fault, but you are.
And we are direct. You know what we're going to do? On our way out the door, we're going to unload our nuclear arsenal on the Middle East. That's the biggest favor we could do for every country down there.
Intellectually dishonest.
Of course.
That does not lead to any.
You know what's dishonest? For years, we tried to understand the problem in the Middle East. For years, we tried to understand the problems of people in the Middle East. And what we got for our problem, what we got for all of our trouble, were 6,000 of our citizens butchered up. So we're not understanding anybody anymore. We're going over there. We're going to take care of some business. Every single country that aids and abets, Egypt and Saudi Arabia especially, are backstabbers because they have aided and abetted and helped financially these terrorists, all the while smiling in our faces and telling us what friends of ours they were.
Why have we been on their side for so many years?
Been on whose side?
On Egypt and Saudi Arabia and many of the others.
Because we thought stupidly that Saudi Arabia and Egypt actually cared about the survival of America as a nation. But now we know the truth. Now we know those two countries will stick the shank in our back just like everybody else down there. So now we're going to find out who's providing the money for those terrorists, and we're going to take care of business.
You're making generalizations.
No, it's not a generalization. Not a generalization. They stick the knife right... We know now, Victor. We were stupid for a long time, but now we know. Who's going to stick the knife in our back, and it's your friendly little Egypt and Saudi Arabia.
I think your show causes more damage to a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm worse than those terrorists, aren't I? Right. I'm worse than the terrorists.
Which, incidentally, I'm sure there's a lot of uneducated listeners listening to you and thinking this is because, you know, this is...
As opposed to Egypt, where they got nothing but brain surgeons down there, and they know exactly what's going on in that country, and everybody's on the same page.
You're on the same channel, you're on the same wavelength as 6:10 a.m., as the great Dr. Laura and the great Rush Limbaugh. Why don't you learn some honesty from them?
Why don't they learn some from me? Why don't they get tuned into how the American people feel today as opposed to a year ago when we might have listened to your stuff, Victor. But today we are so angry that all of our sympathy for the plight of the Middle Eastern nations is just about bled right out of us. And today all we want is some very serious, severe payback. So you're going to have to go talk to somebody else about how things are down in the Middle East, okay? Now, if those countries want to come along and be friends, we'll be friends. But if they're going to stick a knife in our back, we're done. We're through. We're finished smiling and shaking hands and, you know, can we have some peace? And everybody want to get on the same? We're all done. That died the day our 6,000 fellow citizens died at the World Trade Center. All that nice, sweetheart understanding about everything. Now, we got a serious, serious case. I said it last night, for the first time in my life, I have heard my fellow citizens, other Americans, talk about busting nuclear weapons out. That is how angry this country has gotten. And now, all of a sudden, everybody wants us to understand the wherefores and the whys about the men. And, you know, the problem's this, and, you know, 100 years, and, you know, let's save it, man. Look me up in a couple of years. After they bring that guy's head out of the cave, then we can talk, okay? I'll buy you a drink. Oh, you know what? It's Ramadan. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686.